Welcome to Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
Hey, it's a wonderful thing to worship the King, amen. We find ourselves in a place where completely insignificant, actually, at the end of the day, who we are, and it becomes so much more significant of who He is in our lives. Amen? We're completely insignificant, not without value, but we are completely insignificant, actually, when we think about the significance of who He is in our lives. Isn't that true? Are we good? Are we engaged? For those that have joined a little late, I'm going to ask you. Now it's going to be an embarrassing moment. I didn't mean to embarrass you. But we really wanted to try and get everybody into the center aisle. So, Aniki, if I can maybe ask you to move over one, and then we can move this family over here. Somebody can give me a hand. Yaku, if you don't mind just giving this lady a hand over here. Welcome, ma'am, to you. I see that you're with us for the first time today. May Jesus touch you. May He bless you. Amen. It's going to be a great morning. Who's enjoyed this week? It's been incredible. Incredible. We have the privilege of looking a lot of times back at you, and we see your faces, right? You get me, right? There's generally a leader up here, okay, that looks back at a lot of faces. And you cannot believe how your faces change during the course of the week. They are transformed by His greatness and His glory. I promise you. I'm not imagining it. Unless you're using some type of BB cream, which is something that they use when you go to sleep. Karen, am I right? You go to sleep, you put the BB cream on, I've heard. And then you wake up the next morning, you're all fresh again. It's like it's called BB cream, right? Unless you're using some type of L'Oreal BB cream, that's not recorded, so it's all good. But I know for sure that Jesus is transforming us into His likeness, which is a glorified version of who we are. Amen? So, we are, as you know, quite free in how we do what we do here at the Crossing Church. And in saying that, we're going to let the Lord do what He needs to do with us this morning without any hesitation. We don't even have an agenda. I'm not even really sure what I'm talking about right now. I'm just kind of just letting the Lord lead us. And I want to ask you a few questions. And you are welcome to ask us a few questions. Based on this week, we look back over this week, right? There must have been, in your heart, a couple of questions about, okay, where to from here? Because what we generally find in incredible times of apostolic input like we've had this week is, and I'm just being vulnerable here with you, I'm being open, as we should be with one another, is that it's powerful, it's impactful, it's life-changing in the aspect of that week. And we see our families at home changed, we see things in our lives changed, we're seeing things differently for that week, right? Then what happens is, we get back into Monday next week, and it's, okay, cool, I've got to drop the kids off at school, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. Where's the extension of activating these truths about the supernatural? Where is that? Where is that we have grown so much this week in what we've learned supernaturally? How do we convert that supernatural into the natural now? And that's what I guess that we should go to this morning is, what are the things that assist us in the natural, and how, with using Kia and Callie being here with us this week, how do we take these truths, how do we take this supernatural aspect of what we've been taught this week and activate it into our lives? We heard last night Kia saying that as we grow in these things, as we understand these things, because they are somewhat overwhelming, unless you're a theological student that's, you know, got an honors in theology and we don't know about it, which is wonderful for you, but to the day-to-day person, these are overwhelming things. I can guarantee you. We've got some guys that have come to us during the course of this week going, I have no idea what Kia's talking about. Is that normal? I'm like, oh yeah, that's totally normal. That's the aspect of maturing. That's why we welcome in the gift of the apostolic, a gift of teaching. It's a gift to us. It's like, listen, these truths are not going to be easy to understand through the word. So why don't we give you a gift, Jesus says, to help you understand it. And it's a gift to us. That's why we welcome it in. So, in terms of what we've learned this week, is there anything that you've kind of sat there and going, hold on, that doesn't really resonate with me, or I don't actually quite understand that? And I want to give us a moment to think about that and say, Keir's here with us, before he gets into the rest of what the Lord might be leading him into this week, this morning, and into tomorrow morning, which is going to be wonderful as well, is there anything that anybody wants to ask here? Is there any kind of clarification? Is there any type of, gee, that really made sense in one aspect, but then how do you apply it? So as we've grown, how are we going to go? Right? That's the key, is grow, but go. So how are we going to go out there? Playground here. We play with the giftings, not in a sense of mess them up or mess around with them, but we play in here. If you can give me that creative license. We play in here. This is a safe place. Play with this, play with that. Lord, impart your presence here. Doesn't really happen. I'm playing with this here. But then when we go, how do we impact? So those are the types of questions. Is there anybody bold enough to just go straight out there? Rich, you're quite bold and courageous. Give me a question.
He's always that go-to guy.
Thanks, Hilt. You're the best. So for me, it's about, and I think you touched on it briefly last night, was how do we maintain momentum in our life? We've had this impact of the Holy Spirit on us right now, and we are full, and we're on fire, and we're wanting to go out. How do we maintain that momentum? Because the reality is, I think when we go out into the world, we're going to face opposition. How do we continue to be full of the Holy Spirit, to walk in our anointing, I guess is the question.
Sure. That's a loaded question right there. But yeah, that's exactly it, guys. These are the types of things we want to ask.
It's a good one. The source is the place that you come from. You come from the spring source in order to carry what you get out there. So it's actually basic. You've got to spend time in his presence. You've got to pray. You've got to allow him to change you, what's going on inside of you, to enlarge your capacity. And from that point, everything is from the throne room out. It's from the Holy of Holies to the outer court and beyond. So it's from his presence you go. And that is our responsibility. That is ours to maintain the Word of God, the excitement of wanting to read the Word of God in the way of not just doing a format of, okay, what's my daily reading? You look up a program and you read. You can do it. If you're undisciplined, do that. But when you come to a point like I'm in the Gospel of John and I've been there 2 years and I still haven't read through chapter 14 because every time I get in there, I just end up a heap on the floor because of what God is saying. And so it's that place of that excitement where you just can't wait to get back into the Word of God. If you keep yourself in that position, you're in a strong place.
Wonderful.
Kelly,
Reese.
Go for it.
Kelly?
Just to add to that practically too, I think it's exercising your faith. And, his sheep hear his voice.
Yeah.
And we've got to know that we hear God's voice. And when God says to do something, act on obedience. No matter what you think, no matter how foolish it seems, act on it. And the more you're obedient, the more you hear his voice, and the more you can set the captive free. Because like Keir said, that Luke 4 scripture, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me too. We have to know that God's anointed each one of us to do the works of service, and we need to exercise that. You can't just go back now and sit and say nothing, and you hear God say, go up and give a word, or go to that one, speak to that one, pray for that one. You've got to trust him and know that you hear his voice and activate it.
In those quiet times, Keir was here, I think it was about 2 years ago, right? And I asked Keir, how do you read the Bible? Many people have got Bible reading plans and stuff, because we all know that the key is to spend time in his word and to spend time in his presence, and that's how you get full to go out there and do what you need to do. But how do you get to that place where he speaks to you through his word? Because I've been reading for 2 years and I have had some revelations, but how do I get to that place? You know, I open my Bible. Before I open my Bible, I pray, Lord, speak to me, give me revelation. And how do you get to that place where you are so, like you explained, captivated by the word, where when you're done with your quiet time, you are feeling spoken to, energized, filled to go out there and do what you need to do? How do you get into that place and stay into that place?
Yeah, it's being very intentional in when you read the word, so you're not trying to race through it. It's just taking time. And I find that most time God speaks to you when you're not actually in the word and you're kind of cruising around driving, or your mind is in a place where it's downtime in your brain. You're not actively thinking about your business or picking up the kids or whatever. It's those little things that seem to just, like a mist, just goes across. You can either capture it and say, wow, I hadn't thought of that. Or I hadn't thought of it that way. Those moments are essential. It's good to somehow document that, write it down, or something like it, because that is God speaking to you. See, sometimes we think in our program God's going to speak to us, but actually we are in His program because He's Alpha and Omega. We're in 24 hours. And so you can expect Him to talk to you the whole time. So it's as John G. Lake says, you've got to be consciously aware of Him continually. Have a conscious awareness of God's presence every time, all day, every time you're awake. And so to have that conscious awareness, you are setting yourself in a place saying, God, you're supreme. You're first in my life. I want to hear you. You can interrupt me anytime and allow that to come in. And obviously when that does come, you'll jump back, get home, you get wherever it is, you'll pick up your phone, your Bible and say, let me get that down. And another point is this, when you read the Bible, don't read it to read it, read it to preach it. Because when you read it for you to preach it, and maybe you're not a preacher or a home cell leader, or any, you're not going to be like up here doing, that's not the issue. The issue is you will have a chance, as Kelly said, sometime to be able to bring the word to someone. So get yourself set up to give up the word. So it's that place of arming yourself. So it's not just a read and I need a goosebump. No, it's reading, what can I give? Where's the truth in this? Lord, how would you impart this to someone? Putting yourself in that place. And when you do that, you take on everything in a whole different way. And so, you know, you might not be preaching for the next month or like I probably for the next 2 weeks. That doesn't stop me getting into the Word and getting new revelation. Because when you get that, it excites you. There's something that you cannot describe naturally because it's supernaturally. And just another point of this. At the point of where you disobey God is the point of where you've left Him. Sounds a heavy. But so come back to obeying Him and He will be with you. You know, a lot of times you ask people, so I have this problem, da-da-da, and I don't know what God's saying. And I often say to them, when I was a pastor, I'd say, what did God, when was the last time God spoke to you and you knew it was Him? Not audible voice, but you get this, I know God spoke to me today, I heard Him. How? Through the word, through impression, through something. When did that last happen? 2 weeks ago. What did He say? That. Have you done it? No. Go do it and you'll be back with Him. So that is keeping in step with Him continually, saying that you are walking with God. The devil will try and force you to run or hold you back, but the Bible says walk with God. And so it's not the frenzied, I've got to get Him, or, you know, when it concerns, when it suits me. No, the thing is perpetually walking with God. And you develop, if we can use that word, which I don't enjoy too much, you develop a culture of Bible reading. But that's a culture, it's a system. No, but that's what should happen normally. And you get excited.
Yeah. Well, it's actually in line with what everybody's been speaking about, hearing God. So how do you hear Him? What does He sound like?
Primarily through, what does He sound like?
You hear things, and sometimes you know it, you may understand that.
Yeah.
But when you speak to God and so on, and you're communing with Him during the day, right? Maybe you can just explain how you hear Him first.
Okay.
Maybe that would be helpful.
Sure.
I hope it's not too broad a question. But,
yeah. No, it's fine. I've never heard Him scream, shout, raise His voice. What I've heard most of all is like God just saying, son, this. So it's been that point where quieting down the interference, and I've tuned in to the radio dial. I've got a clear thing. But it's keeping yourself in that place. And most times, it's not a command, it's a suggestion. Hey, son, how about this? Or would you do that? So He's never violating you. He's respecting and honoring you. But would you apply and follow Him? So it's those things. Your Bible often talks about the small, still voice. Absolutely. The impressions, as Kelly said, when I first heard Him, I had the impression, and people say, God spoke to me. I've never heard, I have once or twice heard a kind of an audible voice, and that was quite a while ago. But there's that impression. You see, he doesn't have to come and speak directly in your ear. When you walk with him, you know him, you sense. It's like a husband and wife. Kelly doesn't have to say anything, but I know. Why? Because I'm with her. And so that's the kind of a relationship you get with God, is that you kind of sense what he's saying. You kind of sense the leading of the Spirit of God. And it's a leading, not a pushing. So hearing the voice of God to me is a very gentle, very quiet, and I do miss it sometimes, and he wants to be a part of your life. Our job is to train our inner ears to hear the Spirit, our inner eyes to see the revelation. The eyes of your heart, open the eyes of our heart, Lord. I want to see you. It's a song we sing, but it's true. And we open our ears of our understanding so that we can hear him. Okay, so it's training, it's learning. If you're not with him, you won't know him. So be with him and you'll hear him. So the whole thing is, it's like people say, gee, I wish I could be healed. I wish I could see a miracle. Well, just hang around with a miracle worker and just hang around with the healer and you'll get what he has. So you hang around the Word because he is the Word. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst men, and we beheld his glory. And the glory is the signs and wonders, because that brings glory to God. They beheld his glory and they followed him, John 2:11. So hanging around him, you'll begin to see who he is. Trouble is, most of us want to see what he does and then finally say, can I know out, find out who he is? And so we need to know who he is first. And then we'll start doing what he does, because we'll be like him.
Any other questions on the... Thanks, Karen.
Thanks so much. I liked what Kelly said about that we have to exercise or practice or be obedient in the prompting. So I just want to know, I'm not sure if it's a question for the elders or for you, but how do we outwork that in church life depending on our role in church? So you've got obviously elders and deacons, and so you get called up to, there'll be a row of people, and maybe you want to exercise a gift because there's healing and you've got faith for it and you want to participate, but you're not officially a deacon or, you know, what do you do in those circumstances? How do we practically outwork that church life-wise? I mean, it's easy out in the world because you bump into somebody randomly and God says and you just go because you go. But in actual church life, how do we work that out?
So the question to the elders.
So it's funny that you asked that question, because we had a time with Kia earlier this week, had a lunch, and we asked questions surrounding that. And there's a certain time, there's a certain place, there is a significance in the role of an elder, role of a deacon, and saints. And not that one is more qualified, less qualified, any of that. There's, as Kia shared with us, which was quite powerful, is that when we lay on of hands, there's an understanding that there's an impartation. So where we have certain facilitations of aspects of a meeting, coming to the end of a meeting, closing a meeting, we are, as an eldership, going to also be quite clear in our communication in saying, at this point, we're going to call forward a deacon team that are going to pray with and minister with, because that's an aspect of the office of a deacon, is to counsel, to pray for, to lay on of hands. And Kia had a couple of other points that he shared with us, if you maybe want to pick it up from there, general sense of how we facilitate ministry, if that's also part of what you were asking, Karen, as a saint in a local church. Yeah.
Actually, I can't remember what I said then. It's like, do you remember?
I do. Good. So you were saying that we obviously have times and places for everything. So that's the important part. Is that when the eldership are in a place at the end of a meeting or beginning of the meeting, doesn't actually matter when, that they feel that they've heard from the Lord as to where they'd like the meeting to go. There is an anointing on that. They've recognized that they've united with one another. There's that counsel with one elder to another as we lead in the meeting. And so we would try and direct aspects of where we feel the Lord wants us to go in that moment. Okay. In terms of being a saint, in terms of just being a member in that moment, There are ways that you may be involved, which is intercessory, whilst you're sitting and waiting. You might have a word for somebody. Always under the submission of eldership, come forward with that word and say, I feel I have a word for this person that stepped up front. So there's that. There's the gathering of saints, just that unity in itself of you being here present, being able to just contribute in that way is key as well. And we also have life groups. You know, that's where the life of God flows, and flows from a very open place and vulnerable place where people might not necessarily want to come up on a corporate level like a Sunday morning, but in a safe environment in a home, that's where ministry takes place, and it's beautiful there, where the Lord would have a word to you, again submitted under a leadership role to the life group leader, say, I have a word of encouragement, I have a word of wisdom for X, Y, and Z, may I submit it to you, and you come with me. So there's a crucial role that, as saints, we all play, and not any way different in value, but distinctive in role. So in a body, in a corporate sense like this, there's a distinctive role of obviously an eldership overseeing the government aspects of the church, overseeing correction, overseeing doctrinal issues. Those are the eldership issues. Deacons to assist the elders to make sure that they are freed up to handle those aspects. So deacons would administer aspects of the church, and saints standing in one voice, one body, together. Worshipping is an aspect of what you bring. Like, what do we bring, and how do we as a saint contribute? That's worship, prayer, and just your corporateness together. And individual one-on-one counsel underneath the submission of eldership and leadership. Does that answer? Okay, cool. That's what Kia shared with us as well. Let's take one or two more questions, and then I want to wrap it up for Kia to have teaching time with us. No, not at all. So let me clarify. Absolutely. The gifts that we are being taught on this week and an outplane and role of, or the outplane of your spiritual gifting is absolutely able to be exercised in a local church context and in an environment like this. It's just always preferred under the submission of eldership. And why we say that is not that you have no freedom to do so. It's the protection of both yourself and the other believer, is that there might be an aspect of what you're sharing that might be too directional, it might be too correctional, it might be, and there's a room for offense. So it's to protect the person who's giving it. And the gifts are not limited to just, obviously we know, words of wisdom, knowledge, etc., but also gifts of healing. So when you come forward, and if you're operating in a gift of healing, we may have already as a leadership team recognized that already. So we would possibly even call you forward and say, Karen, having known, having seen, having recognized the gift of healings over you, won't you come forward and lay hands on this person with me? So we actually call it forth from you, and hence Kia mentioning and training us in the aspect of fanning into flame your giftings. That is also, as a role of an elder, is to fan that into flame, not on behalf of you, but to call it out of you. And those are ways that we do that, is that we will call forward. You'll see us up front often in a Sunday meeting saying, those that we know operate with the gift of prophecy, you know, do you have a word? Is the Lord saying anything to you? So we're calling it out of you to see where your heart's at and what the Lord's saying to you. Anything else? One more question. Putsi, can we do yours maybe a bit later? Do you mind? I just wanted to end at 11 so that we can give Kia some space to teach more.
So Kia, I was just wondering yesterday as well, is faith activated in risk or in hearing God's voice? Because I've wondered about that, because I've heard a lot of people say different things, and it's kind of been a strife in my heart about, like, does it happen when I go do something, or is it imparted by God?
There's salvation faith for salvation, the word of faith for salvation. There's the fruit of faith, which is Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, which is the fruit of faith. Then there's the gift of faith, which comes and imparted to you. It's an outside, the part of the Spirit, one of the aspects of the Spirit of God coming to you. It's a gift of faith. And there is the faith that you have in God's Word. So there are four kind of areas in which we do call faith, and they fall into one of those main. Saving faith, that gets you saved. Faith comes by hearing the Word. So when people hear the Word, they get saved. They continue to grow in their faith by continuing to hear the Word of God, and they grow in the aspects of being obedient to God. There is the fruit of faith, which is the fruit of the Spirit in you, which again is the Jesus breathing on his disciples, receive the Holy Spirit. That's where I believe, to me, the fruit of the Spirit comes. And then Acts 1:8, when you receive power, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. One of the aspects of the Spirit of God and the gifts of the Spirit, one of the nine, is the gift of faith, which is a supernatural, beyond natural ability of God to walk. So what do? You always are walking in saving faith, hearing God's word, growing in faith. You are exercising it, and you grow in the fruit of the Spirit as you allow the Spirit of God to lead you as sons and daughters of Christ. The gift of faith is something you can desire, you stir yourself up in, and you normally minister the power gift groupings with that. So what do when you talk to someone? Number one, you walk in your faith. And if you have the gift of faith, you employ that and you begin to activate in that. So there are different ways. So actually, two are personal, two are functional. According to your faith, be it done to you. So that is a different level of faith, because you're speaking the word of God to the person who's afflicted. And when they get to that point of where their faith is, then the supernatural slides across from one into the other. Such as I have, I give. Give us your attention. Pay attention to me. I don't have silver and gold, but such as I do have, I give to you. There's a whole teaching around there on how to walk and apply the gifts of the Spirit. Because both are involved, both are enacted, and both receive what he has. So does that help you?
Okay. That's great. We're going to end the questions now. If that's okay.
There's a desperate couple over here.
Okay. Then
ladies.
If I'm going to, are you okay, Kia?
Yeah,
are
I'm happy.
Okay, let me.
Because I'm
just
picking up
on a pretty quick word. Yep. Question.
Yesterday you spoke about talking in tongues and speaking in tongues. So I didn't get the difference.
Sorry.
And then there's. Okay. Yesterday you spoke about talking in tongues and speaking in tongues. So what is the difference between talking in tongues and speaking in tongues? And the second question is, sometimes how do you silence your mind? Because the mind sometimes, it just go around and you try to take it back and it keeps on coming back.
No, I'm joking. Okay, can I come to the speaking in tongues and talking in tongues? Just now, that's why the chair is there. So I'll answer that. Quietening your mind, pray in tongues, read the word. Because your mind focuses isn't on the word. Or start confessing the word. And you literally take authority over your brain. And you tell it, hush, be still. And if you can keep yourself at a place of where you're walking in peace all your life, because that's the atmosphere of heaven. Fear and torment and anxiety is what the devil throws at you. The peace of God on earth is violence to Satan, and anything that Satan offers is violent to heaven. And the way you bring heaven to earth is exalting God, worship, praise. Let heaven come, thy will be done. And so you want the atmosphere in heaven, so if you want the peace, if you want God's will in your life and perspective to hear his voice clearly, you keep yourself in peace. Do not be stressful, anxiety, do not look at the things of this world. Do not let the God of this world blind your mind. 2 Corinthians 4:4, you begin to walk in peace. You walk in the Spirit of God. That's the fruit of the Spirit in you. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, mercy, long-suffering. And those are the things that we walk in. And so you maintain your life in that.
Just in all of these questions, it's mandatory that you be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's not an option, it's mandatory. And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you won't understand the word. You won't get it. That's the basis. We have to be born again, water baptized, and filled with his Holy Spirit.
Question Activation of the Holy Spirit, which I've experienced in this church, so I'm very new, a few weeks ago.
Brilliant.
Massive. Good. On Alpha Course.
Hmm.
But somehow, how do you allow yourself not want to stay in that space? Because it feels like a space where you want to just be quiet with the beauty that's happened to you and not be touched by the outside world. So I'm sure you've experienced that. And on my heart this morning was a question that I wanted to ask you specifically to explain to me.
Just say it again in one sentence.
How can we not be addicted, in a way, to that beautiful space and not want to reconnect with the world that so badly needs us?
Be filled with the Spirit of God, because once you've got Him, He'll overshadow everything else. And keeping yourself in that place, that's where you need to stay from now on. That's your address, because that's the presence of God. That's His presence on you. And you've never known it before. You've been thrown at and walked around the world trying to find satisfaction in what the world can offer, but the world will offer it, and it seems good, but there's always a price attached to it, which is going to cost you spirit, soul, and body. But when you get the presence of God on you, which is the Holy Spirit in you and upon you, you walk in a peace that the world does not know, because He is greater. And so keeping yourself in that place is, as we were saying, reading the Word, spending time with Him. You only know somebody when you spend time with them. And when you spend time with them, you end up talking to get to know them, and in the end, you just know them without talking to them, because you're with them. And so that's where God is leading you. The Alpha Course is brilliant. It takes you through those different doorways into those different rooms, and finally, you basically come out the front door where you've got to walk this life by yourself. But you're not alone. God is with you. And you keep the Word in you. The Word and the Spirit of God, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, are your best friends that you can ever have. They will take you into eternity beyond the grave. That's the message of the gospel. So I'm just going to share a bit around that as well.
Yeah, thanks, Kim.
Okay, so appreciate your question, Kelly. Do you want to share? Yeah.
I just, for you, to speak to that fear of going back into the outside world after experiencing and being in that place, it's the world trying to keep you away from what God's commissioned you to do, which is going out into the world. So speak to that fear, and as Kia said, with being filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got that authority now, so you're able to speak to that and say, fear, be silenced in Jesus' name, and use that you've been filled with to go out and do what He's called you to do.
Amen. Appreciate your questions. I think we're going to do one session because of the time. I want to read this to you. I love picking up questions because I'm hearing where you're at, and so it kind of gives me direction of what to share in this last few minutes. And it's going to be a bit practical, but I want to read something to you to try and capture us into one area. Because what's happened, what my heart this week, and I think the eldership's heart this week, is yes, there's the equipping, but the thing I fear afterwards is that the church has got excited, or those who come get excited. And when you go back into next week, you go back to pacemaker. You got the spikes, you know, you have the heart thing, what do you call those things, that the electronic wake-up thing, the paddles. Yeah, paddles, those energizer. Your heart starts pumping and you're all excited. Everyone's excited because life has come back. But then when he leaves the hospital, it's like poof, the flat line goes back into it. And we go back to being normal from now on. And my one of the desires that I have is to impart to you so that you will carry on spiking out there, being excited, hence doing what God wants. And I think one of the things was, how do we keep the gifts flowing inside the local church? Yeah. But actually, as we were praying at the back there, I said, actually, what we're doing here is only 10% of what you should be doing outside there. The 90% happens out there. And that's where you don't have elders, deacons, and so on. You just have God, yourself, and the person that needs to be touched. And so what do? You don't phone up and, can I do this? No, you just go do it. Because the world, you need to set their captives free. And that is the heart of God. But I understand the meeting is another forum where it is celebrating, worshiping, exalting, being instructed, celebrated, and back out there. So it's charge the battery, release, charge, going and doing it. Coming to that, it says by Smith Wigglesworth. Many years ago, I read a statement that Smith Wigglesworth made which challenged me deeply and caused me to search the heart of God and the scriptures for an answer. Someone asked Smith, why is it that every time you go anywhere, something happens and power is always manifested? His reply was simple. It's very simple, he said. If the Spirit doesn't move, I move the Spirit. In this arrogance or the gift of faith in operation, question. If someone could do it then, why not now? God is no respecter of persons. Mandates are the keys to open that door. Your commission, the Great Commission, are the keys that open that door of the supernatural. They are keys to lead the church into her inheritance. It is the function of the Ephesians 4:12 gifting. It sounded so simple and yet so complicated. The Lord said, Smith Wigglesworth received a mandate from me to do what he did. He was not doing it out of presumption or on his own initiative. I gave him a mandate to do it. He believed me and acted on it. I wanted him to do it for me, and he became a manifestation of my ministry on earth. Because of his mandate, he had my unlimited authority to do what he did, and as a response, heaven opened up to produce all he needed, and the Spirit moved to empower what he did. A mandate, a personal commissioning, orders. And because of that, no one could stand in his way or stop him. God, heaven, and the Holy Spirit stood by him and backed him up all the way till the end. Understanding the great importance of mandates, the power and importance makes a big difference, but it is up to us to respond. One of the problems is people are waiting to see the manifestations, the result, or the provision, before they step out to do what God told them to do. Many people who have received a mandate to pray for the sick are waiting for God to release healing power before they start praying. It does not work that way. We are not responsible for results as we cannot produce them. Our job is to obey and do what the Father says. One day before we stand before the Lord, he is not going to hold us accountable for the results. Not at all, because the results are his responsibility. Our goal is that on that day, we will be found faithful before him because we believed in him and did as he wished. He is not going to say, how many miracles did you perform? How many people did you save? Instead, he will ask, did you pray for the sick so I could heal them? Many will say, well, Lord, I was waiting for you to release healing so that I could pray for them, or I was waiting for a revival to come. No, results are his business. And the disciples went everywhere preaching, the master working right with them, validating the message with indisputable evidence. We all have mandates, and heaven and the Holy Spirit are waiting for us to open those doors, to invest in the kingdom and bring dividends to the Father. That to me, it was a teaching, because we have mandates. So according to that mandate, what are we doing to man and our date and time on earth? And it's that. Church, it's for you. You say, well, I don't have a mandate. Yes, you do. He has already said, go into all the world, teaching them to obey what I have taught you. Making disciples. So that is getting people saved. Convert, believer, disciple. Third phase. Someone, a disciple is someone who's under discipline and is willing to be disciplined and led and taught in the things of God. And so that's there. So we say, well, you know, okay, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm called. You are. Right there it is. That's done. And so this thing about if the Holy Spirit doesn't move, I move. What does that mean? It means this. The commissioning that you have, the mandate that you have is God's authority on your life. It's a statement. It's orders. That's what you do. So go do it. You don't need permission. You already have his authority on earth. A vertical revelation, horizontal mission. When you get a vertical commissioning and you know what your commission is, you have a horizontal mission. The thing is, we need to settle in our hearts that, yes, I am a child of God. I'm a week old, 2 weeks in the church or whatever it is. You are qualified. Do I know everything? No. Do I know everything? No. But you know what? I'll go and find out while it happens. And the Lord worked with them, confirming his word. So if he worked with them in the working process, they began to see revelation uncovered and understand God's word more and more in the process of. Trouble is with us, we brought Christianity down to classroom experience of academics. What percentage you get for the test? And guess what? I know from school, what I learned at school hasn't helped me much in this life. History, the French Revolution, duh. Has that really helped me? No, but we had to do it. Why? It's called discipline. And mathematics, trigonometry, BODMAS, brackets of division, multiplication, and subtraction. You know all those things, those formulas you learn for maths? I've never applied brackets and division and multiplication and stuff and formulas in my life. What for? See, so we sometimes bring the church to that, but when we start applying, they say, I understand that, it's quite a good idea, it gives me a sequence of events, but out there it really happens. And so we begin to do stuff. So what is this thing? And I want to talk to us in a few minutes about faith, miracles, and healings, three power gifts, because that's what set the captives free out there. Jesus walked in that. And then what is the anointing, the Holy Spirit, and glory? Now, please, I hope you're not one of those who are going to say, hey, Hilton, what the heck did Keir talk about? I hope that doesn't happen after this. Okay, please, because very often we get to as far as, you must go, bang, 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 whip, guilt, shame, and you walk out there saying, how? What do I do? What do I say? And what anointing to cause people to get totally healed and restored? How? Well, I hope this is the how, because for me to understand is sometimes we walk in different arenas of giftings. Let me bring you to 1 Corinthians 12, and I know I shared this last time with you 2 years ago. But let's just look at this. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware. Be aware of the spiritual gifts. That's what he's saying. Verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Notice the word in this New American Standard Version is the word varieties. And other translations have different meanings, but I like this. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Spirit has 9 different varieties. Orange, 9 segments. They all taste the same. They all look like an orange if it's not a lemon. And every fruit has the seed inside. So when you get the hold of the Spirit of God, it causes the seed, which is the Word of God, to be imparted to you. Verse 5, and there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. So here we go. We've got Spirit of God, 9 gifts, varieties of ministries. How these gifts happen, but the Lord, he's in charge. Then you get the third one, talks about there are varieties of effects, but the same God. Effects, the effect of these, the effect is God's result. So you've got the Trinity involved, all looking down on the Holy Spirit and saying, we're in this together. Put it this way, the Holy Spirit on earth, in you, around you, right now. He's right next to you. He's here. He's listening in. He's the guy sitting on the platform waiting. Jesus is in heaven, head of the church, saying, Holy Spirit, when those guys preach this, do this. Varieties of ministries. Ministries, Ephesians 4:11. He gave gifts, Ephesians 4:11, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, which is, lay hands, it's you, it's your function. And God's watching. And he's watching the different nations. I call them arenas. He's looking at city arenas. Not the arenas that you play rugby in. The arena, the whole city. He's looking at community arenas. And saying, I want those gifts to move in there to set the captive free. So you've got this whole thing happening. So all three are involved. And when we see this as what the Spirit of God does, we begin to understand it. And in the middle of it, here, he begins to give the 9 gifts. So, here we're going to ask someone, the man in the red shirt. Bang. That red shirt's getting you in trouble every day. Last night, today. So would you sit there, please? I need a young, strong, healthy, vibrant man. Can you stand right behind him? And then, actually, you need to stand up there because you can have guys standing on the step in front of you. And yeah, need someone else just to come stand here just for a while. Thanks. So you can take one step back. The person in the chair is you sitting in your chair. Each one of you look different, but that's your body. It's the vehicle in which your soul lives, which is all the emotions, the taste, touch, smell, everything in your head basically is involved with your soul. But then you have your human spirit, so you're three. You're actually, by God, you're seen as a spirit that's living on earth. Your soul is how you live on earth, and your body is the vehicle how you move around on earth. That's how God sees it. No, but we see it as this. Hence, fashion, design, cell phone type, where you live, the car you drive. It's all about this. And we teach our kids that age how to be like this. And we train this to connect with us so that the soul conducts the body and the body conducts the soul so well. That's why it's called, when you get too involved with stuff that leads you astray, it's called the lust of the flesh. Human spirit is there all the time. And when you're born into this world, what actually happens is your human spirit is a little dislocated because all you're doing is you're training these two how to live here. And even when you go to work, how do I disengage from work? Well, you've got to learn how to disengage from this to begin to listen to your human spirit, your knower. You know inside, I shouldn't have done that. I should do this. But then you have a helper, which is the fourth man, the Holy Spirit, who's around here, and he's watching the arenas. He's watching everything. Now, when you get born again, guess what happens? Is that you begin to hear the Word of God. Your soul begins to pick up truth. And your human spirit starts jumping up and down, starts getting a little excited because he recognizes that's what he's around for. And he actually, the human spirit is, I want to connect with the Creator because I don't want to go to hell, I want to go to heaven. And so what happens is when you get born again, your soul takes one step back, gets more connected to the human spirit, and your body is kind of left a little on its own. And basically what happens, these two start leading you. It's called being led of the Spirit of God. That's why you have the Holy Spirit in you. When you get saved, this is what happens when you get saved. And so you begin to hear the Word of God, and these two are responding so much to it that you actually are being affected by it. And when you hear the Word of God, He sent His Word to heal. He sent His Word to save. He sent His Word. If you're carrying sickness in your body and you're hearing the Word of God heals you because you keep hearing the Word of God. Your body changes. I love what you said. Your faces look different. Why? Because the Word of God's in you. Have you ever had this when you get saved and you go back to your family and say, you look different? And they say this, you talk different, you behave different. Why? Hello. Transformed. You're just totally different. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old stuff that you used to do has passed away. All things come new. Now, it's even better. The Holy Spirit comes and you get filled with the Holy Spirit. And your Holy Spirit just says, human spirit, you're mine. You're mine because I'm going to communicate with you. This is the doorway speaking to you. And this human spirit says, soul, you'll submit to me because we are two, you're one, you're outnumbered. And the body says, help, I'll follow. And when we worship in church, guess what? We see the expression of that thing, hallelujah, Jesus, because you know what? You're awake. It's called revival. You awaken to what God does. Now, with the Spirit of God, He comes not alone. Now we need nine people to come and stand up here. Please, just volunteer. Just come, be who you are. Because greater is He that's in you. That's He that's in this world. And so, nine people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. One more. Okay, can we have one person on this side? Come. Yeah, just one. Because there are three of three. There are groups of three and three. Now, you're a little bigger than you thought. Do you know that? Just check around you. Huh? So I don't want to mess with you. I don't want to mess with you because of what's behind you. But you don't have to lift a hand. You just speak. Because the power's not in what you do. The power's in what you say. Christian? Centurion said, just say the word. Okay? So what do we have? We have the power gifts. The gift of faith, the working of miracles, the gifts of healing. Group of three. The most senior gift, the gift of faith. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Revelation gifts, seeing gifts, visual gifts. Tongues, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. You two ladies, just move over one side. You stay there. This is what was in the Old Testament. You didn't have tongues and interpretation in the Old Testament. You had the prophecies and they prophesied with revelation. But then in the New Testament, Acts 2 came and you're filled with the Spirit and you spoke in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Now, one of the questions. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, that's you, right? Acts 2, they spoke in tongues as an evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit of tongues, gift of tongues, and interpretation of tongues, in the same rank and level as the other gifts, the power, the visual, the vocal, is different to just talking in tongues. This is gift. This is personal. So you speaking in tongues, when you feel the Holy Spirit, you can speak in tongues. You just simply don't know what you're saying, but you believe that you're speaking. And you can have different tongues. Why? To stir up, to agitate, to build yourself up in the holy faith so that you can be active while in this body on earth to do the things and the works of the kingdom, to lay hands on the sick, to cast out demons, to do these things. So you've got these gifts. So the gift of faith, the working of miracles, are powerful. And the gifts, plural, multi-gifts, many gifts, not just one gift of healing, gifts of healings, it's a plural. There are 39 types of diseases in the world. You need a few gifts to handle those diseases. That's why some people are gifted in opening deaf ears but cannot get cripples out of wheelchairs, because they're gifted in the group of hearing, the head stuff or blind eyes. Others are gifted in being able to just remove tumors and cancers. Any of those things around that person carrying those gifts, that thing is eliminated. It is evicted out of that temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. So you've got a few bunch of power kids around the house. Then you've got the gift of wisdom. The word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is the most senior gift of all of these. Word of wisdom. It's the most senior, according to Howard Carter and Lester Sumrall. Why? Because when you got God's wisdom, sheesh, you know him. What's the rest got to do? You know him. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Word of knowledge, gift of healing, work well together. Discerning of spirits. It's not like I'm on a witch hunt. Antenna up, and you're looking around. Where's the devil? I want to kill. No, the discerning of spirits is built for leadership in church to pick out future leaders, future people who carry an anointing on their lives, to train them and to release them. That's with the discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits, coming back to one of the questions of what happens in a meeting, is discerning what the Spirit of God is doing in a meeting so that the leaders know how to follow him in what's going on in a meeting. And it's good to have them all come and have a huddle while you're still singing a song, because they're picking up. And one of them may be prophetic, the other one may be non-prophetic, but in their discussion, they're sensing and discussing where the Spirit is leading them. And they lead you in the way the Spirit is going. So, and contributions sometimes help. In fact, amazing how sometimes it does help. Then we've got prophecy. We've got tongues, speaking in tongues, and the interpretation. These two happen in the local church. Acts 1 Corinthians 12:14, tongues and interpretation. Why? Because speaking in tongues is a language supernaturally given at the moment, and the interpretation is a supernatural ability to sense what God is saying in that tongue and to bring it in a known language so that all can hear, and there may be two or three that will give that interpretation. Illustration, you look at a picture, you will describe a different emphasis in that picture hanging on the wall. What is that doing? When you put all 3D into one thing, you get a perfect understanding of the picture. If you have one person interpreting, you have 1D, one dimension of it. Two dimension, but actually you want 3 dimension. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 14, when someone brings a tongue, let 2 or 3 interpret, so that the whole church gets a picture of what God is saying pictorially. That's the gifts. So, here we are. First of all, unsaved. Disengaged human spirit on the one side. Suddenly hears the word of God. Guess what? Human spirit wakes up. Born again. Wonderful. But the gift of the Holy Spirit in you empowers you to do what God wants you to do. We try and walk in this world, yes, of without the Holy Spirit, with just being saved. Limited power. Yes, you can. Matthew 10, Jesus sent the 12 out. They were not filled with the Spirit. They had his name. And demons were leaving at his name. And he told them, he gave them a mini commission, one of the first commissions that he was going to bring to the church. He demonstrated through his disciples, go, do what I do, say what I say. They came back and said, geez, even the demons listen to your name. He says, yeah, that's authority, friend. That's authority. That's your mandate. I gave you a mandate, your ministry. But later on, he says, just hang on. It's going to get better. Just wait for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. When that happens, you start taking over cities and towns. 5,000 get saved. 3,000 get saved. You get locked in jail. You just pray and the whole thing shakes up and you get the centurion saved and the whole household and you do all sorts. So that's with the gifting. You are armed. There's weapons. The thing is, for us as local people in the local church, is not wait for the Ephesians 4:11 or the elders or the deacons to find out what gifting you have. You, saint, who's spirit-filled, 1 week spirit-filled, anointed of God, is to discover. Do not be ignorant of these things in understanding your giftings. Amen? So, yes, can you? Are you okay to stand? You sure? Because you chose to be one of the power gifts, which is significant for you. Can the rest of you just sit down on this side, thanks? Let me just think. Yeah, you guys can too. Thank you. So maybe you can come and sit in the chair and grab another two, because I'm going to be pulling you up and out of here for a few seconds. You all are happy? Has this been an understanding to you? Yeah, that's fine. There you go. Oh, yeah, you're sitting on the platform. Yes. Being in the army, I don't want anything behind my back except an exit. All right. So there's a thing called, we've understood this. So faith and miracles. Where's your friends? Over there. Okay. Faith and miracles. I'm going to read you some things which I have still learning to walk through. Learning how to move with the anointing of God. And so it's on type form. And I haven't taught this much, but I think it's so important because of where South Africa is, what God is doing in this nation right now. If there's ever a setup for revival, it was shown yesterday. Because when people are oppressed, they cry out to God. God has always got favor on the oppressors. Oppressive, and he removes the oppressor always. Whenever that happens, revival is one of the vehicles in which God does that. In the Welsh revival, Evan Roberts, woman was shackled to the kitchen, not allowed to go on the streets. Men could go to the pubs, go and play soccer. Boys of 7 years of age and girls were sent down the coal shafts to dig coal. From 5 in the morning, they came up at 7. They died of TB, lung disease. They didn't get to school. Little wretchens. Perfect English word. Little wretchens. Covered in coal dust. Never have a bath, maybe once a week. Rashes, sickness. They didn't eat well. Bad oxygen. But then Evan Roberts came. And he said, "Oh God, would you change this?" Fell on his face. The power of God hit him. God touched him. Another elder came and stood exactly where he stood, and he cried out the same prayer. Boom! On the ground. They'd never seen anyone slain in the spirit before. When that happened, revival broke out. And that revival was not incredible worship, not incredible preaching. It was people coming together, all in worship, all in prayer, all reading a hymn, all reading a psalm, or sorry, a hymn, a psalm, all just exalting God, just popcorn stuff happening. It was totally out of control. But wherever Evan Roberts went, it happened. He'd walk down the aisle. He'd pick you out and say, "You're a sinner. This is what you're doing. This is what disease you're carrying. This is what God wants to do to you. Number one, do you want to repent and give your life to Jesus? Yes. Heal him, Lord." He'd just carry on walking. He just, you know, the gift came to a level that we very rarely found. Well, let's put it this way. When revival is there, it's God's come. The gifts are not important because they just happen. And it's not about a man leading. It's about the man in the house. So in this country right now, if ever a time in the history of this nation, since going back to John G. Lake walking here and Andrew Murray walking in this land, historically two revivals have happened. This is a land of revivals. It is known around the world as that. People look at this country and think we're in revival. But when we read revival in the Bible, this is just the kindergarten stage. But to them who have nothing like we know now, they're so jealous of us. People say in South Africa, sometimes it used to be, "Oh, Mandela." Now it's, "Oh, God, I hear revivals in your country." The gift of faith is also distinct from the working miracles, although both gifts produce miracles. Sometimes we call it a miracle of healing. It just depends how it comes. There are two distinct gifts. One of them is active, the other is passive. When I heard that, I thought, "Oh, Lord. Sheesh." Anyway, you are? Gift of faith. Yep. Step up, please. And the working of miracles. Come. The gift of faith, is the senior gift here. Miracles happen when the gift of faith is around. What is the gift of faith? The gift of faith is a passive gift. It happens around you all the time. You don't know about it. You're not conscious of it. You walk in the gift of faith for years. You don't know about it. In your businesses, it just suddenly rockets and there's just some massively, your business just seems to be those dudes down the road, the opposition, they've been in there, doing it longer than you. You suddenly come to life and there's just this, you outdo them. And they look at you and say, "How do you do this?" And you say, "I have no idea. I'm just doing what I know." Guess what? I think it's this, the gift of faith that you carry that you never know about because you don't sense it. There's nothing on you. It just happens around you. It is a prolonged gift. It can happen upon you for years and years. That gift of faith can take you out of danger. Causes you mostly to challenge what's natural supernaturally. Because the gift of faith stops time. Because the gift of faith or faith is now. Now faith is. Now faith is. It's not maybe sometime. No, it is now. And so it changes time. This doesn't exist because you are in his realm because it's happening around you. It's a wonderful gift. It's a scary gift. When you walk in the gift of faith, when it's connected to miracles and healings, when those two are connected, when the gift of faith is tagged up to those two, you are a changed person. You do stuff and you say, "Why did I do this? That's not me." Hello, it is not you. It's God in you and through you. That's how the gifts work. The thing is, we need to put ourselves in that position. How do you get there? First of all, as Wigglesworth said, when the Spirit doesn't move, I move the Spirit. How? He walks in the authority of the mandate. It's called authority. Who sent you? God. What are you going to do? His work. How? Watch. You can do that. You don't say, "God, can I have your permission?" He's given you permission. You say, "The church hasn't given me permission." No, he, the head of the church, has given you permission. So, Pastor, can I go over there and do that? The pastor says, of course, he has already told you to. That's the church. Go do it. No, well, I think you need to pray about it. No, you don't. Again, madman of Gadara. The madman of Gadara. How many demons were in him? A legion. How many is that? I hear 6,600, but let's take 600. And if that man of his own choice wanted to come and worship Jesus, guess what? Those little demons were hanging on, boys. This is going to be a riot, because that man was running, Jesus, on the ground. And the demon said, what are you doing here, Jesus? He said, shut up, get out and invade those pigs. The pigs had more sense than humanity. They committed suicide. Can you imagine that? A whole lot of pigs. Hey, we're in this. We're swimming. Oh, we're burning up. The devil's in us. He's hot. Anyway. No one could stop him. And guess what? The madman of Gadara, what did he do? He went through a deliverance council. He went through a course on how to study the Bible. He looked, make sure he was set free. He went through, he had to go and fight. No. He said, Lord, sitting in the right mind, clothed, so he was naked and he was mad. Chain breaker. Sitting in his right mind, said, Lord, I'm coming with you. He says, no, you're not coming with me. You're going back to Decapolis. Deca 10. You're going back to 10 communities of where they know you as being a madman. You're going back there to tell them of my mercy towards you. You're an emissary. You're sent. You're commissioned. He was not fivefold gifting evangelist. No, he just shared his testimony. Friends, if you want to change your community, start sharing your testimony, and then you end up preaching. Start doing what you know, because no one can take it away from you. Your testimony is your testimony. No one can take it from you. All the devil does wants to make you silent, and that's not the plan of God. So you went back. That's where Jesus came back. Because of his testimony, he fed 4,000 people because they knew about Jesus. Jesus is coming. Wow, the whole place came out to him. So anyway, the gift of faith doesn't work a miracle, but passively receives a miracle. So here is the miracle. The gift of faith, or faith in you, stands over here with hands outstretched and facing the miracle. Sorry, I've just seen this way. Is that the working of miracles is received by the hands of faith. The working of miracles is active. The gift of faith is passive. But to receive a miracle, you've got to put the hands of faith out to receive what God is working in you. And I understand that. So what do? We prepare the person by speaking faith to them so that they're in a place to receive what God wants to do. How, 9 times, I think it is, Jesus says, according to your, in the according, because of the measure, in an equal potential of your faith, you are healed. So there he is. You're building faith, till the hands of faith are there. And then the working miracle slides into you. It's yours. So what do we do when we preach to people to get healed? You build faith into them so that the healing power and the working of miracles can both, and different gifts, work the same way. Do you understand the power gifting now? So, thank you. You can maybe be seated. Let me just read a little more. Back in the chair over here. The gift of faith employs faith that passively expects a miracle as a sustained and continuous action. Illustration. 10 lepers came to Jesus, shouted at him at a distance, says, Lord, have the mercies of David upon us. And Jesus says, go your way, show yourself to the priests. And they went their way. He didn't even touch them. He didn't pray for them. He just told them what to do. He had to go and show themselves to the priest to prove that there was no more leprosy on them. As they were going, they were healed. Their faith was already there, but as they were going, they were healed, which means that the gifts of healing are not only instantaneous, or the gift of faith is not instantaneous, but continuous, because as it was happening, they were healed. It was a prolonged thing that happened. That's why when you prayed for healing, you need to exercise the gift of faith, saying, God, you said it. It's going to happen. It will happen. But until it happens, I know it's going to happen. I'm not changing my confession. I'm not changing my expectation. It's going to happen because it is continuous and ongoing. And they shall recover. Next one is this. Special faith may carry over a long period of time, and it is sustained or continued in its action of passively receiving miracles. The gift of faith is a divine gift or enabling by the Spirit of God that causes what is spoken or desired by man or spoken by God to ultimately come to pass. So, there we have those. Let me go on to anointing because, my goodness, the time. In spiritual gifts, we minister to one or several people. Come to one and you minister to one. In the anointing, with the gifts, we minister to thousands. What does that do? God just amplifies what you have. You can carry a gift, but learn to walk in the anointing. What is the anointing? God's ability upon you to do more than you can do. That's why often we see in Jesus, you read in the Bible, he ministered to the multitudes, and multitudes were healed. Did he spend time all night laying hands on each one? No. He just declared the word of God over them because their faith was at that level, and they received what he said, and multitudes were healed. What might take the anointing 10 years to do, the glory takes 1 year. Glory is a different level. The anointing with the gifts of the Spirit, with prophecy, with healings, with that, it deals with sickness. It deals with a problem. But where the glory comes in a place, sickness is illegal because the presence of God is there. Let me put it to you this way. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the temple, the body, 1 Corinthians 6:19, what don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit who indwells you? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit and the glory of God and the presence of God is in you, guess what's illegal in you? Anything that would take up foreign, that space that should be the Holy Spirit's. If the presence of God is in you, it's illegal for the sickness to be in the presence of God in heaven. I know it's a broad, wide statement with a lot of questions attached that I'm trying to find out, but I'd rather take that. Because when the glory comes in revival, when the presence of God comes down over a city, when God inhabits his people, not a church, his people, what happens there? People just get healed. I love the testimony of Jeffries, George Jeffries, sitting in the lounge at the back of a meeting hall in England back in the 1800s, and just sitting back there chatting to whoever it was. And there was about 5,000 people there, and he had a specific healing on arthritis. Anyone who had arthritic disease, a certain gift group, he was healed. That was what he carried. So anyone arthritic was healed instantly. Person ran into the pastor's lounge and said, "Hey, Brother George, you've got a problem." He says, "What is it?" He says, "There are so many people. There are wheelchairs, there are stretchers, there are people bent over double, there are bent limbs." And he just put his head back and laughed, and he says, "Oh, the devil is such a fool." That was his attitude towards that. So it came to the music finished. He came out on the platform. People knew what they were get. They were expectant. Acts 3, paid attention. Give us your expectancy. Expect stuff to happen. The expectancy is the atmosphere of the supernatural. Ministering to people, when you build the expectancy up, they get what they believe. You need to build that up in the local church. The expectancy here from now on, I hope, is that if you're sick, you come here. You come to this church to get healed. It's a crossing point in your life. You will be changed. So he walked onto the platform. He looked around and people went quiet, listening. He just said, "The Master is here." That's all he said. And you just heard this popcorn happening. His limbs popped straight. And then people started screaming, wheelchairs flying through the air, stretchers being pushed aside, and people just started running up and down inside the auditorium, shouting. That was the meeting. That was over. It was done and dusted. Why? Because of the anointing. That's the glory that happened. The anointing prepares for the glory by faith. The anointing, in the anointing, the believer takes the initiative through his or her gifts, through the anointing. You take the initiative. You expect it to happen. In the anointing, faith places a demand on the mantle or the anointing of an individual. Elijah and Elisha. Elisha placed a demand on what Elijah had, placing a demand. The woman with the issue of blood placed a demand on what Jesus carried. We as a church need to place on a demand on what God has for us. The glory of God makes sickness illegal. The glory realm is the place of the miraculous realm. It is the atmosphere where miracles happen. In the anointing, Jesus is healer. In the glory, God is creator. We work in the anointing, we rest in the glory. The glory is akin to the miraculous creative power. Amen. So the power gifts with the Holy Spirit in you can walk in a different dynamic with the Spirit of God, where the gift of faith tags these two gifts and takes them to another level. Just like the word of wisdom with the revelation gifts, prophetic utterance of these gifts takes prophecy to another level. Tongues and interpretation of tongues, apart from speaking in tongues, takes it to another level in the church where the supernatural happens. The word of knowledge operates the gift of healing, powerfully, because they tag team. The working miracles and the gift of faith, always found together. In raising the dead, all three are involved. Why? It takes a gift of faith to say, young boy, I say to you, at the gate of Nain, one word, arise. It takes a gift of faith to do that. The miraculous comes into operation. Poof. Comes into operation, gets into that body, changes what's gone wrong, brings the body back to life with a gift of faith. They remain in the gift of healing. Whatever caused that death is reversed so there can be life on earth. All three operate. That boy lives. Lazarus, the same thing. When you raise the dead, move in the gift of faith. Your brain will say, you're crazy. And something inside of you says, God can. Hey, lay hands on, they get changed. In the church, worship attracts the anointing. Whenever there is an anointing on you in your home and you sense his presence, you'll know. You know the presence of God is there for a purpose. Whatever that purpose is, do it. If that purpose is not there and you feel no anointing, use your authority. Walk in your authority. What is an authority? It's a centurion. No clinical, no choirs, no hymns, no robes, no organ, no violins, nothing. No angels flying around, feathers, gold, that's good, nothing. It's just simply out there, moving your authority. The church needs to come in authority and move out there. Most of the time, you're operating in authority when you believe what the Bible says about you. Go. But then as you go and you begin to move, what Lake said there, Wigglesworth said there, is I move in the Spirit. In other words, you began to move in authority, doing what he's doing, laying hands on the sick. But then you stir up the gift of healing, and that healing starts activating in you. And suddenly there's an anointing on you. And because of the authority of doing, the anointing comes. I think that was one of the questions. The anointing comes, and you begin to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, seeing the results. Healings heal. Miraculous, it's not healings, it's something else. Other than, but it's powerful. Amen? The same way with prophecy. Well, I just want to pray for you. Well, guess what? You're confessing life and blessing God's purpose on that person. And then suddenly you stop and you get this picture in your brain. You stop and you say, well, I just sense God saying this to you. And you're talking to them conversationally. You don't have to go King James and use, thus saith the Lord, and raise your voice and change it and start spitting and take out a white handkerchief and flap it. You've got nothing to do with that. You just simply say, I sense God is saying this, and you begin to deliver. Regardless of their response or reaction, they'll probably falling to the ground, weeping, but they'll say, how did you know that? You say, God told me. You give him the honor. You say, well, how do I move in the prophetic? Exactly like that. One-on-one. Often we think the prophetic is someone standing up and saying, thus saith God, this is going to happen, and the whole nation is going to change. No, it's touching people's lives. And using the discerning of spirits and the gifts. Okay? Thank you so much. Amen. You may be seated. Wonderful. So I hope in those, in the practical outworking of what God wants to do through you, is put yourself in that place. You know what? When I first started moving the Spirit, I didn't feel like it. In fact, most of the time in our lives, Kalia's and ours, was I had such a fear. I'm thinking, do you know what you're doing? You don't know what you're doing, do you, Kia? Your brain's telling you that. So you're right. You know, you talk to yourself, and then you wonder whether that's going to be so from now on. But you begin to step out, and you begin to, how do you develop a muscle? You grab a dumbbell, and you begin to move it. You just don't stand there and say, oh, gee, Lord, please, I just pray for that dumbbell. I hope that dumbbell gives me strength. Oh, God, would you please come and help me with the dumbbell? No, you pick that thing up, and you don't pray, and you just begin to exercise it. You don't know what you're doing. It's going to hurt the next day, but tough. It's building. That means it's building. The next day when you operate in the supernatural, the worst thing is you actually become your worst enemy because you think, did I do that? And I did that, and I said that. Oh, my gosh. And you know what? That's the pain afterwards. Get over it. What you do is you go back in the gym. You think you're going to hurt me? Watch. I'm going to change direction. I'm going to do it differently. Exactly. No money. Your muscle says, yo, stuff's happening. We better jump together and develop so we can handle this. Exactly. That's how you grow in the Spirit. Yeah. Exercising your faith. Yeah. Exercising the faith is the substance of things not seen. Yeah. Where's it seen? You've seen it here. It's in the Word. And so what do? You walk towards the unseen. And then it becomes the evidence of what's not seen. Ah, there it is. When? Now. Now, faith is, not tomorrow. You want the Holy Spirit? Tomorrow? Now. You want to speak in tongues? When? Now. So let's stand up, put our Bibles down, our cell phones away. We're going to speak in tongues. Loudly. Here. Now. Otherwise, you're going to have a disjointed walk with God. You're going to be, I don't want to step aside anymore. I want to engage. Just lift your hands. Holy Spirit, saturate, baptize, fill everybody now with your power so that we may speak in tongues and give honor and glory to your name because we are the church. We are your bride of your Son, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now begin to speak in the name of Jesus. Speak out, speak out, speak out, speak out. Talk, talk, talk. Talk, talk, talk. Get bold, get loud, get dangerous. Don't be mute and timid and hide. Become a lion, not a mouse. Begin to roar out in the Spirit of God. What are you saying? I have no idea. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. And then when you leave here and you get home this afternoon, just do it again. Just make a statement. Stand on that place. And what's happening right now is the Spirit of God inside of you is standing to attention because stuff is happening inside of you. It's the power on earth. Power on earth. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. And every disease and sickness, speak to you right now in the name of Jesus. You are terminated. You are evicted out of these temples of the Holy Spirit. You go. You no longer have a right or rule. Long-term diseases, chronic long-term diseases, it's over. It is over. Now, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we know that you set people free and they are totally free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can anyone raise their hand right now and say, that prayer was for me about long-term disease. Just lift your hand. Just say, okay, you? Okay, Christians, get around them. Lay your hands on them. Use your authority and command that thing to leave. We prayed, but let's do that. So, you're going to walk out of here totally free. No more. No more. Come on. This is safe. It's inside a church. And you too? What was it? No. No more.
No more.
Whoa,
no more.
Kelly,
no more.
Cancer today, right now, you are terminated in the power and the name of Jesus. Lord, you said you sent your word and healed, and so today we've heard the word of God. She's even volunteered to be the very thing that's going to happen to her, and that's the miraculous. And so God, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Cancer, go! In Jesus' name. Dry up. Permanently Sorry, man. It's done. No more. No. Cancer. No ways. It's going to be dried up at the roots. Dried up at the roots. Dried up at the roots.